For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It takes a lot on the night the NFL season starts to get us to start the show somewhere else. Like if Malzi came in today and said, I'm actually undergoing a sex change. From now on, I want to be known as Christina Muller. We might start with that.
No, I think we'd probably start with Chiefs-Ravens. Steelers expectations.
If I came in and said, I think I'm getting a pair of breast implants. What do you think in that situation? What would we go with?
Didn't The Rock have to get like a breast reduction surgery once?
Marlon Byrd did.
Joe's buddy.
Did Joe bring that up? He always has a nuclear option when he gets in fights.
That had to be. But I think that if he had pushed that nuclear button, Marlon Byrd would have pulled a much more real world one on him and just socked him in the face. No, it takes a lot to bump the start of the NFL season and therefore discussions about the Steelers' fortunes going into this season off of the front page, so to speak. But I think when you get humiliated like that, when your manager cuts the profile in the post game of a man who might know that what happened hours prior or minutes prior was the final nail in his professional coffin, if he needs to have a strong September to keep his job, and they pretty much start the month by getting a combined no-hitter put on them, he's got Rowdy Tellez pitching, closing, finishing a game, Pony, for the third time, I think, in the last 11 games, a position player. I think that warrants mentioning right at the top here. I think that the Pirates, a team who, if I had said to you a month ago, Pony, on August 5th, that we would be talking about this team and doing it in the way we are now, where they are just a laughing stock and a joke, you wouldn't have believed me. You wouldn't have. You would have said, the trade deadline just happened, they just brought in a couple guys, maybe they've lost a couple games, they need to put a streak together, but they're certainly not a laughing stock, and right now they appear to be.
I would have fired Shelton after the game, if I were in charge. If I had the authority to do it, if I had the permission to do it for my owner, if he was on board with it, if he's fine with writing a check to get Derek to not manage next year, if all of those boxes had been checked off and I had approval for that, I would have done it. Because he sounds like a guy that needs to be, I think, put out to pasture, or a man that needs to be put out of his own misery. I mean, that was uncalled for. I don't mind an emotional manager. I like managerial rants. They're famous. Leland had a bunch. He had one on Bonds, which lives in infamy, and then Cook after the game with the Heads hat on that, you know, has gone viral 30 years ago. All that jazz, you know, Brian McRae, Lou Piniella. I mean, you name it, all these guys that have these, Tommy Lasorda, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But the appeal of Derek Shelton to the Pirates, in my opinion, is the way that he communicates the message to the media, and the media are there as a conduit for fans. That's his value. He has this really sunny disposition 99% of the time. He is going to put a positive spin on everything. He's going to give fans and media the company line. And he broke character last night. The way his team has performed and the way his team has melted down has gotten to him. I think the players clearly sense it. He's lashing out at a reporter. Look, of the things from that game, I don't think Tellez would have been, if I only got one question, that's not what I would have asked about. But
idea that it's an invalid question is ridiculous. It's perfectly valid.
There's a professional way to answer the question without telling the reporter, you're better than that.
John Parado, who's been covering baseball longer than Noah Hyles from the Post-Gazette's been alive, basically said, stop disrespecting the game. If you respect the game, it'll respect you back. And he meant pitching a position player, the same guy, to finish a game for the third time in how many ever days is disrespecting the game.
And all due respect to John, I disagree with him on that. The issue to me is not embarrassing the game by throwing a position player. It's that you're getting blown out again and you're getting crushed again so that it makes sense. It makes baseball sense to not waste a pitcher. That's the issue.
And that issue isn't about Derek Shelton, in my opinion. That issue goes to the upper level,
well,
to the general manager.
No, I'm not letting Ben Cherington off the hook, though. But when guys that are employed by the Pirates, Greg Brown and John Wehner, on the broadcast are ripping into players at the end of the game for not trying, that has to go back to the manager. That's not Ben Cherington's fault. That's not on Ben. Like, that standard's got to be set from the manager. I would say the same thing about Mike Sullivan or Mike Tomlin, and probably have with them in situations like not just last night getting blown out, but overall for the last month. I don't think effort is the reason why this team isn't good, but I don't think that it's a non-issue. I mean, you're trying to break up a no-hitter and you basically just give up on the play. I don't, especially because it wasn't an automatic out. It was a softly hit ground ball to short. I mean, Cruz had I wouldn't say 100% chance of beating that out, but maybe 40% chance if he tries. And Shelton, one of his big things over the last month is, hey, we're losing these games, but we don't give up. We fight till the bitter end. No, you don't. He doesn't even. He's taking guys out of the game.
Devil's advocate on the Cruz play. If he goes 110% out of the box, and I'm not, this is one of those scenarios that I admit multiple things have to happen. He digs it out and beats the play, but pulls up lame with a hamstring. Is that really worth it to have been one hit and humiliated by the Cubs? Hey, at least
no,
he misses the rest of the season or whatever with a hamstring strain.
Of course it's not.
I just, that is, from okay, so you said that the effort's a problem, and I agree. I get it. For me, the much bigger problem here, and Shelton has been, and this is where I do feel a little bit of sympathy for a guy in his first managerial job. I don't think he's done a good job objectively. For me, the much bigger problem is the general manager that buys the groceries here did a horrible job of it and has constructed a hideous roster. And I've gotten a bunch of people in my mentions. I responded to you when you said Derek Shelton should be fired, Ben Cherington, the GM, should be on thin ice, and I said they should both be gone. Mm-hmm. I've gotten the usual spate of, until you fire the owner, none of this matters. I disagree. Whether you liked Neil Huntington or hated him by the end, he ripped off 94, 88, and 98 in three consecutive seasons. If you would like to cite the owner's unwillingness to go much higher on payroll to keep that role going after 2015, I'll listen to that. But the idea that you flatten the agency that a GM has, even in this market, in building a team, is ridiculous. We saw it for 3 years. Just because it didn't yield playoff series wins doesn't mean they weren't very good baseball teams.
Yeah.
Ben Cherington got Paul Skeens. He deserves credit only in the sense that there were people like me who thought Dylan Cruz was the pick. His people developed Jared Jones, and they inked Mitch Keller to what looks like a fair market value extension. They have done nothing else good.
Well, I think I'm not going to try to be Ben Cherington's personal attorney here, but if I had to do that, I would bring up Joey Bart. I would bring up Nick Gonzalez. I would bring up the fact that he
are they
Dennis
win?
Santana
okay,
out of nowhere.
Fair enough. Are they going to win more games than last year with Skeens on the roster for
no,
the most
probably, no.
majority
that,
of the year?
And I think that's why I'm saying Ben Cherington is not that far off from Derek Shelton. But Shelton has clearly lost it. I mean, he's losing it. It's not an out-of-bounds question. Like, if you are a baseball manager after games, reporters ask you every night why you made a decision. Why did you pinch hit this guy? Why did you pull the starter here? Why did you bring this relief pitcher in? Noah asked him, why did you bring in your position player for the third straight game? And yes, it forces him to explain, Noah, we sucked tonight. We got no hit. They had 17 hits and we had zero. This has happened way too much. But that's the job. That's like, in today's baseball, like, that's what the GM and the owner want the manager to do. The manager has less agency than ever before. But the manager doesn't have carte blanche in many cases like maybe they used to, depending on the organization and the manager's resume. Being able to maintain a professional air about yourself is a huge part of this. That's probably why the Pirates liked until the bottom fell out for him. That's probably why they like Clint Hurdle so much, Chris. Because of all his curtilisms and expressions and the way that he kept consistent messaging and blah, blah, blah. We got tired of it after a while, but I guarantee you that's why they liked him.
Well, this is like,
this guy snapped last
this
night.
This is like making the press secretary, if you don't like whoever's in office in the presidency, this is like making the press secretary the main villain when they're just conveying the organizational, you know, they're fronting and they're the face of it. They're answering the questions afterward when things go awry. Like, to me, I know that the president here would be the owner, but to me, the real guy, if we're going to actually talk about people whose jobs can be taken from them,
yep,
the GM is the much bigger problem than the optics being put out there or not put out there by the manager after a game like that. It's not so much does your manager put a, not a good face on it, but does he put a professional face on it? It's
fair.
Why does this keep happening, and why has this been happening for a month plus to a team that felt it was necessary and worthwhile to add at the trade deadline? That's what I would say.
The overall product, it falls back on the people at the very top, including the general manager, who, yes, he gets a shoestring budget. He did not do a great job of the players he brought in for $30-plus million. But as you pointed out, look at other teams like the Orioles and Rays and A's that have and Guardians that have had very small payrolls, and they have managed to – it's super hard, but you can do it. It's not impossible in baseball.
Cleveland's going to win 90-plus games
no
this
doubt.
Year.
That all being said, I'm just going to name two guys. Do you blame Ben Cherington more for Key Brian Hayes and Henry Davis or Derek Shelton?
I blame Cherington.
See, I blame Shelton more because it's his hitting philosophy. It's his – which he gives to Andy Haynes, and then that is passed down to those players. The guys that are either brought in externally or drafted and don't play well, then I think Cherington has to own that at the end of the day.
Wait, how do you figure that it's definitively Shelton's hitting philosophy when Cherington came from Boston, where they were talking about they always worked pitchers deep into counts, they got into bullpens, they were patient, they were happy hitting.
Because everybody who I've talked to around the Pirates, including all their media, say that Haynes is a Shelton hire and not a Cherington hire. That's why I say that.
I understand that, but we just got done saying that the GM sets a lot of the agenda now in modern
sure.
baseball. I think it would be foolish to suggest that even if Shelton's the one who hired Andy Haynes, that Ben Cherrington's been totally hands-off about
hitting. No, I'm not saying he's hands-off because he hired Shelton. He had a hand in bringing Derek Shelton here.
Well,
so he has to take ownership of that, too.
And you mentioned Davis to me. There's two different stories here. You can talk about hitting philosophy. John Baker's still another guy. They're farm director. Like, they're bringing up guys who are not ready, and then we've got to hear Shelton or Cherington or both say, well, there's just such a huge gulf between the majors and AAA.
What I've watched for a month, I just refuse to believe that they're this bad, and it's inherently just the hand that's been dealt. If Terry Francona is their manager, do they have this record?
They're a couple games better, but they're
that's
still...
That's it?
I think they're three or four games better, but that's still, what, six
man.
Or seven games out?
I'm shocked to hear you say that. Only a two or three game difference?
No, three or four. I mean, three or four is a lot because I don't think managers have a huge impact. Here's the real hard truth about them. After they started the season so hot and came back to earth that very first time, they've never gotten more than three games above 500. That just suggests to me that you can talk about a manager here, a manager's move there, probably just don't have enough talent. And five-plus years into the Ben Cherington tenure, that's unacceptable.
See, I disagree. I think if you have a guy that manages their pitching staff better, they're significantly better. And I trust Francona to do that. Unlike this guy.
They are, I believe, 11 games out of the last wild card spot right now. Okay? No. No, they're not even on Baseball Reference's page for that. So they are, they're 11 games out, Pony. How close would they be to that spot right now if Terry Francona was their manager? Atlanta occupies the final spot, 76-63.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. Because those three teams that occupy those spots have pretty much are running away and hiding. They're not. We thought for.
You say that, but the Cubs are only 4.5 games out still. Like the Cubs who were left for dead.
Chris, that's a lot to make up with 20-plus games.
I am aware of it, but they are not dead.
Yeah, so I would say that the Pirates would be ahead of the Reds, would be ahead of the Cardinals, and would be neck and neck with the Cubs if they had Francona as
the
manager.
Then they'd be even with the Cubs because the Cubs and the Cardinals are separated by a game.
Yeah.
They'd be 70-69, I think, at best with Francona as
their manager. That's a big difference.
They'd still be...
That's a huge difference. You
they
said
would still
three or four
be
games. Now you're saying it's a 10-game difference.
They'd still be six out.
But that's still a huge difference over where they are now.
I'm giving you five games here, man. Five games.
Yeah, I just don't have empathy for the guy.
I don't really have a ton of empathy for Shelton, but like I guess I'm more trying to cast a wider net of nastiness. I think Ben Cherington is getting off light from some people. They're so focused on the day-to-day with Derek Shelton and the fact that he is now losing his cool that, like, Mr. Calm and collected behind the scenes, let's just stick to our process. His process sucks. And their performance or lack thereof on the field is validation of what I just said.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jumped off the boat because they think it's a fool's errand, and maybe it is. Maybe it is, Chuck. Maybe it's a fool's errand. Maybe it's just one big damn grift after all. Maybe that's the case. But I sit here disgusted that this is the fruits of the labor. This is what the tree bears after 5 years, the end of the fifth year. The best you got is Domingo Germán. A checkered pass off the field and a meatball thrower on it.
What was the checkered pass off the field and what?
A meatball thrower?
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah,
pontificating so, Dan Zangrilli last night on postgame. He was fired up with Chuck on hold. Just taking it all in. Chuck in Uniontown. The godfather of Pirates callers, as Donnie likes to call him.
You know what about Germán? Here's another thing. It's like, bad pitcher, bad guy.
Dude.
Why do we need to see him?
Yeah.
Why was it necessary to bring him up? You know what makes me wonder about the fact that they have him on the roster? I think Trevor Bauer, it's now been revealed, we knew, pretty bad guy. Most people, I think, felt that way. Or I don't want to wade into like too much of a hot button there, but radioactive by many fan bases. Also, I don't think that good of a pitcher, because I think his numbers started to suffer in whatever Kenny Powers league he was playing in. I wonder, though, I had the theory, right, that baseball just quietly banned him and told everybody that. I think that theory has more steam now when you consider that they brought in Domingo Germán. What's to say that the Pirate, like, that Ben Cherington, in a search to try to uncover all alternatives or all options, wouldn't have done that if maybe my theory wasn't correct and baseball wasn't blocking that?
The thing I heard about that was it was a baseball decision and that they just did not want to bring Bauer into their clubhouse because he is a... In addition to having off-the-field questions, he's not an easy guy to get along with.
And Germán, I guess Germán must be, even though he's objectively, we know this, very
He got arrested at a teammate's charity event.
Correct.
That's how this whole thing started with him.
Also, did he not just
not
like shirk the AA that he was supposed to be going through, too?
Not a terrific person. We'll get to calls here. Let's get Donnie's take in here, the host of Bucco Talk on Saturdays. Don, no hit. Out hit 17 to zilch. Germán on the mound. Tellez pitching for the third time this month. You've got Cruz lollygagging. You've got guys like Reynolds getting pulled during a no-hitter because what the hell? Let's just wave the no flag and get embarrassed tonight. Your thoughts?
Kind of amazing what they pulled off, and they did so in record time because just about, a week ago? Was it a little bit over a week ago? I can't even remember. We said, wow, this is rock bottom for the Derek Shelton era. And lo and behold, last night took one step below that. I mean, it's an absolute mess. And then he rips on Noah for, okay, if you want to think it's a bad question, whatever, you can handle it in a way better situation. I mean, if Noah wanted to, he could ask him when the moving crew was going to show up at his house because we only got a couple more weeks, I think, of the Derek Shelton era. I don't know how many more times Joe will get to talk to him either. We're down to about a month of that. It's pathetic.
Yeah, that'll be appointment listening on Tuesday of next week. Shelton and Starkey.
I think the other big question should be, is Rowdy Tellez available tonight?
That we'll see if we get that audio back.
I think somebody should try that question in there.
I mean, the only thing that could happen that would be more ridiculous is Rowdy Tellez throws one more game and we find out he has a torn UCL from all this work he's been doing.
Again, teams do it all the time, so the Pirates aren't different from having hitters go out there and pitch to preserve bullpens. It's more the symbolism of it. You're so bad.
This keeps happening. How many times again is it? Three in the last,
10 days.
Yeah. 30% of the days that have happened have ended with Rowdy Tellez finishing the game for the
Pirates.
He's
pitched more in the last 10 days than Bednar.
I mean, that actually
might
be...
Your all-star closer.
That actually might be a case of the better option.
Here's Tim on the fan. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, hey, guys. I wanted to talk about the optics of Rowdy pitching 3 times in 10 games. It's an absolute embarrassment. I think, you know, when you look at him, he's a jovial kind of guy, fun-loving. And it feels like it's just a gimmick, man. Like, put Triolo or IKF in there, somebody else. It just feels like an absolute joke trotting him out, watching the way he pitches, 40 miles an hour. It's embarrassing.
But I think it masks over papers over what the real issue is when they do that, which is your team is in such a hideous state that you need to continue to go to this well multiple times.
Right. I guess that's the point that I'm not sure why somebody would be mad about which position player is pitching.
It gets in the way of the systemic deep-rooted problems of this team when we latch onto that part of it.
I know you disagree with me, but just to make my point clear here, I think going after Shelton generally still is like the same version of that, masking the bigger, much bigger problems that go even above him.
James is in the South Hills. He's next. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. Hey, you guys are usually on top of everything, and I appreciate what you guys do, but I can't believe neither one of you have mentioned the most overarching problem. What are they going to do about Telez's ballooning ERA? I mean, it's kind
actually,
of going off the
You
chart.
Actually had me – you did have me for a second there, James. I thought you were going to get very serious on us. I do like that.
Here is Mike next. Hello, Mike.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
We're okay.
Yeah.
Our baseball team sucks.
Yeah, they do. So the question is, the lesser of the two evils, is it Charrington or Shelton? Overall, I agree with Chris. Charrington is the deep root of the problem. But let's talk about Shelton, right? This guy is a walking contradiction. He took him 90 games to put a consistent lineup out there. You've got young guys taking off every other day for some reason. Yet, he can't keep a consistent lineup up there, but he's going to stick Colin Holderman and David Bednar in the same spots when they're clearly struggling. If we're talking about this season alone, Derek Shelton has pooched it, I don't know how many games, 15, 20? I don't know. The guy stinks. He's got to go.
Thanks, Mike. Is that a new way of saying screw the pooch?
Pooched it. I think I might start. Yeah, it's just he's screwed up. I like that one, actually.
All right, the NFL returns tonight. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app. It's free there. Download it. Can listen to our show there. Also get it on demand. It's time for a Pro Football Minute. A couple things I want to do here. And then Russell Wilson. Something happened at Steelers practice today with Russell Wilson that no one saw coming. We'll get into that as he prepares for a matchup with the Falcons. His Steelers debut for real this time, not fake preseason crap. 1 o'clock on Sunday. Ravens and Chiefs tonight. Lamar Jackson, the defending MVP, trying to get to the Super Bowl for the first time. He's lost in the AFC Championship game. How should Steelers fans view Lamar Jackson? Donnie, I'll start with you.
How should they?
Yes.
They should view him as one of the best quarterbacks in football. But because he struggles against the Steelers, and I know you're going to take this take, Pony, he's bad against the Steelers, so he can't be that good of a quarterback, right? Well, he wins, what, 75% of his games? He's won the MVP award twice. He hasn't gotten it done in the playoffs or against the Steelers, but I still don't think he's somebody to take very lightly because let's think back to last season, too. They really faced him one time, and we know how that game should have gone, and it wasn't because of Lamar Jackson.
Well, he did throw a horrible interception to Joey Porter Jr.
His receivers, dropped more passes than had ever been charted before in a game since they started keeping track of drops. And they weren't just mini little drops on 4-yard outs. They were huge game-breaking plays that his receivers dropped. They should have won that game by 2 touchdowns, the Ravens. They should view him as a significant impediment to their goal of making the playoffs and therefore then trying to win a playoff game. Because even though he struggles somewhat against them in his career, he's good against damn near everybody else. And so he feels like a guy...
Unless the game's in January.
In the regular season.
Okay.
I said the whole thing was he was an impediment to their goal of make. I didn't want that to sound that mean. I just got pissed off. I said he was an impediment to their goal of making the playoffs because he wins, what, 75% of his regular season games?
That was the stat Donnie just gave, yes.
Okay. He could play poorly against them, but you can pencil them in for 11 wins or so or 12 wins with him as their quarterback, even if he struggles against the Steelers. So if the name of the game here is find a way to at least get a wild card, his mere existence in their division is going to make that tougher because there's going to be a team, even if you beat them once or beat them twice in a given season, that's probably still going to be in double digits.
I know he's won two MVPs, but the way that you guys are both describing him sounds a lot like the way people describe Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins. If it's strictly what they do in the regular season, then you are... You can't be one of the great quarterbacks in football if that's how you're defined.
I mean, I don't consider him – I don't put him in the same stratosphere as everybody else because I think his playoff failings deserve to be mentioned.
He's 2-4 in the playoffs, 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 79.7 passer rating. You know how many touchdown passes he had last year as MVP?
22.
You're shortchanging him.
26.
24. Mm. So he had 2 fewer than Russell Wilson. Isn't that crazy? One guy got benched.
I didn't really.
The other guy won the MVP.
Yeah, I didn't.
I mean, that is wild.
I didn't think he won the MVP deservedly necessarily. I think that game against Purdy in San Francisco.
So he did not win the Chris Mueller MVP. He's a fake, fraudulent MVP.
Yeah, I mean, the Buffalo Bills have a Super Bowl in the Chris Mueller Super
Correct.
Bowl era because of what happened.
So you would refer in your own
game.
Personal record book, Lamar Jackson, only a one-time MVP winner.
Yeah, and I guess I would even have to say that.
So by that definition, he has to be overrated.
And Matthew Stafford's never even won a Super Bowl.
Right. So, I mean, he has to
There's
be.
A lot of Aaron Donald's got to come out of retirement because of the Malzahn Super Bowl rules and the Lamar Jackson MVP rules.
By your
right.
By your own methodology here,
yeah.
Overrated player.
Oh, well, not the way you view him. I mean, you said Mason Rudolph was going to have a better NFL career, and I think you're still maybe going to cling to that.
You also said Broderick Jones would go down as the best left tackle in Steelers history, so we don't shoot 1,000%
still
here,
a whole lot of time for that. All they have to do is actually play him over there instead of prioritize Dan Moore, who can barely get out of his stance.
Let's get to Pat Freiermuth next here. Donnie, you have a clip. This is Brooke Pryor on the Midday Show on the state of negotiations between the Steelers and the tight end, now just 3 days away from their self-imposed deadline of 1 o'clock Eastern in Atlanta.
I'm less optimistic that that one gets done. I've talked to some people who say it's not looking like it. Of course, things can always change, and they can change really quickly. We know that's the case with Brandon Ayuk. I get the sense that Pat Freiermuth is less of a priority, clearly, because Cam Hayward got done first. With Pat, he fits on paper in Arthur Smith's offense. Arthur Smith wants to use tight ends, especially when they don't have a strong number two receiver. Pat Freiermuth, I think, checks a lot of boxes. He also was, I think, kind of hurt by the fact that he was in Matt Canada's offense the last 2 years. He also dealt with some soft tissue injuries. His numbers aren't what they could be to justify a longer extension and a bigger payday. And so I can absolutely see a scenario where the Steelers say, you know what, we do really like you. We kind of want to see how this year goes in this new offense, see if you can get through this without any more concussions, without any more soft tissue injuries, and then we'll revisit before free agency officially opens.
I have a theory on what she's saying, if it's true.
Okay.
That, and I don't doubt her reporting, that she's now pessimistic that he's going to get a deal done. It would make them look like liars. And they would be, and it would make Omar Khan a very disingenuous, dishonest general manager if he were to give Freiermuth an extension after he told Najee the reason why we're not giving you the fifth-year option is because we need to see how you look or how things go
in this offense.
So if somebody gets rewarded with a contract extension before they actually play in this offense, then Najee could go to them and say, well, what the hell is this all about?
And Najee's probably the kind of guy who would hold that against them and sulk about it most of the year.
Yeah, and I'm still under the impression that something is going to happen. But in the event that it doesn't, the Steelers taking a team-wide approach of, we're not going to give new money to anybody until we see how Arthur Smith uses these guys, I get that. I still would give Freiermuth a contract extension. But if ultimately this is a tryout year for everybody in the offense just about, well, that makes sense because they're moving away from an era of having the worst play caller in the league to having a guy that's at least competent in trying to figure out what he has on his team.
I wouldn't give him a deal. I said that yesterday. Fine, have a prove-it year. If you have a really good year and I don't want to give you crazy money because who knows, maybe you have a great year but you only play 14 games so you're hurt again, put him on the franchise tag for a year. I would do that. I just – you and I are definitely – there's a difference of opinion on how valuable he is and how they should handle that. And the reason Najee's not getting another deal, whether Omar says it or not out loud, he and his people, that includes Andy Weidel, I think have a proper valuation of running backs anymore and don't even feel like it's worth six or whatever million dollars that it would be to keep a guy like Harris on a fifth-year option. Because you know what he is. He's a 3.8 to 4.0 yards per carry guy. An old plow horse, Carolyn Clinton called
him. I know,
him.
But I think if Jalen Warren were in the same situation, they might have given it to him.
They might have given him a little bit. They might have been more inclined because he's more explosive. Najee's not an explosive player.
That's the new priority.
I mean, isn't offensive
explosive?
Wait a minute.
Mike Tomlin wants ball control. Don't
Kenny
screw
Pickett.
It up.
Kenny Pickett got a lot of things wrong on the field, but he was right when he would say it's a lot tougher to go down the field and score when you have to put together 12 play drives.
It was ironic because Kenny threw the ball in a way that
Well, I do think he was at least somewhat he was being somewhat self-referential there, but he was right.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.